This is the Tom Likas Show.
I'm not Barack Obama.
Hey, John, glad to hear that.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
Yes.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. And this is where you hear us live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time. 24/7 at tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at tomeverywhere.com. That's tomeverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. A bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And as he does every Tuesday, joining us in studio is criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Adam!
Tommy, baby.
What's going on?
Not much. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
So, Tom, in the Broadway show Les Miserables, have you ever seen it?
No.
It's based on a book, and it's sort of this classic story of this guy who steals a loaf of bread. That's Jean Valjean. And he is hunted for the rest of his life for that crime. And it's supposed to show the inconsistency of life and the cruelty and how the law, if it doesn't have any soul to it, doesn't understand, you know, it ends up being unjust. Because ultimately Jean Valjean turns his life around and becomes a good person, but he has to always hide his secret identity, which is that he's this criminal. And ultimately, it's about redemption and so forth. And, you know, I think some of the themes that I've talked about in terms of criminal law relate to that, you know, very much so. You know, our society, I don't think, meant to do it this way. But when people are convicted, particularly of, you know, misdemeanors, which are supposed to be the less serious kinds of crimes, these end up being things that stick with you for the rest of your life. They're in your record. You know, people say, oh, after 7 years, it goes away. No, that's not true. That's bankruptcy. And we've talked about the importance of expungements, of course, and the greater importance of just fighting. Now, it's not the most glamorous thing in the world, but I do fight tickets, and I've been doing that for a long time. That's related, obviously, to DUI and driving and so forth. DUI is much more serious. But I also fight speeding tickets, and one of the things that I really like to fight are these red light tickets, which are the most absolutely ridiculous thing. It's fascinating, and everyone knows about this. The company that makes it actually gets most of the money, and what they do is they approach a municipality and they say, look, you know, the city doesn't have to spend anything. We're going to put these machines in. We're going to, you know, drill the holes, set them up. It's all robotic and electronic and whatnot. And we're going to, you know, get these tickets, which are people going through the red light. And it's going to, you know, supposedly cut down on people doing that, cut down on, you know, the danger of accidents. And it's going to generate a whole lot of money for the city. And this company also, you know, makes a lot of money doing it as well. But it's fundamentally unjust because one of the basic premises of our society is that you get to face the person who accused you. So, you know, you don't have a secret court anymore. You don't have a person behind a curtain. This has happened in a lot of cases of juveniles where you had young juveniles, really young, accusing adults, let's say, of molestation. And they didn't want to traumatize the kid by bringing him into court, so they let him testify by, like, closed-circuit television or they on videotape or whatever. And that's been all shown to be unfair because fundamentally, right in the Constitution, and it is correct, of course, you have the right to face your accuser. So when you have a standard ticket, like a speeding ticket, the cop comes and the cop says, I observed so-and-so blue car, and I saw him speeding, and I clocked him with the radar or the laser or whatever. And that's the person who's accusing you, essentially, is the police officer. But when you have these red light camera tickets, they used to just take a picture of you. Some of them take a little video of a few seconds of what happened. which they then play or they blow it up or they show it on the screen or something. But the question is who is the person who is accusing you? A camera? I mean, a machine? I mean, that's really the fear of, you know, totalitarian government in 1984 and all of this, that, you know, we wouldn't have any rights and we'd be up against robots or computers, or you wouldn't have the ability to face the person, in this case, no person. And so I did one of these today, and I'm kind of excited about it. Do we have, who do we have? We have William, Tom?
I am looking right now. Yes, that is exactly who we have.
Let's William. Get him.
Okay, William, hello.
Howdy.
How's it going, William?
It's going well.
Now, Tom, this is an interesting thing. This is a twofer. A couple of weeks ago, we had William's daughter on, and I also represented her. She had been accused of having an open container at a party outdoors in Santa Barbara. I don't know if you remember.
I do.
And we got that one dismissed. And so I'm all aces for William's family here, right? William, how you doing today?
I'm much better now that you have done your part and taken care of that thing for me.
So tell a story, because this happens to people. This is like one of these things that you don't realize, and then you get it in the mail a few days later, right?
Yeah. My son and I were driving around town, and, you know, so we're yakking, not paying a lot of attention to what's going on. And so we roll through an intersection, and he goes, "Hey, did you see that flash?" And I said, "No, I didn't see anything." And
so there was like a kind of a flash from the machine.
Yeah,
your son perceived.
He noticed it. I didn't.
And this was making like a right turn or a left turn, or what was it?
No, this was just going straight through the intersection.
Oh, okay, red light camera then. Okay.
Yeah.
And so he said, "Dad, I think I saw a flash," and you said, "Nah."
Nope, I didn't notice anything, so I just went on my merry way.
And then what happens, like about a month later or just a few weeks later?
It was something like that. About a month later, I got the letter in the mail telling me about my $500 ticket.
Right. How's that, Tom? $500, huh?
Yep. Oh, I know.
They really mean business. Now, in the letter, there's different versions of this, but in the letter, did they give you a picture or you had to, like, go online to look at it? How was it?
No, it was in the letter. It was a picture. It showed me in the driver's seat, and they had fuzzed out my son so that the innocent couldn't be seen.
Thank God for that. Then, you know, they get you with the license plate, of course. I've seen stuff on television where you can put some kind of shellac or something on your license plate so the picture doesn't come out, which obviously makes it impossible for them to trace it. I don't know if that really works. But there's a whole lot of guys in this world who have caught their girlfriends cheating by getting that picture, you know, and having the picture of her and saying, "Hey, what were you doing on Sunset Boulevard at 2 a.m? Don't you have a story like that, Tom?
You don't. Well, I was going to say it. Don't you remember? I had that.
What happened?
I had broken up with a chick, and she said, "Can I use your car until I get settled?" I said, "Sure." So she's calling me on the phone, and every day she's saying, "Oh, I am so busy. You know, I just work all day, and I come home and I just collapse." I said, "Collapse? Aren't you, you don't go to bed early?" "No, are you kidding? I'm so tired. I collapse." Well, long story short, one day I get a ticket in the mail that has my name on it.
Uh-huh.
And I open the ticket. It has my name and address, but it has a photo of somebody else in pearl earrings and an evening dress in the driver's seat at 11:30 at night driving around the South End.
and dressed to the nines, I presume.
People don't think about this stuff before they do it. You know, if you're planning on screwing around, how about a taxi? How about Uber? How about Lyft? What are you doing driving your boyfriend's car around? It's ridiculous.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
So, William, so you got the ticket, and you said, it's hopeless, right? What's the point, right? The machine got me.
Yeah, that's right. How do you fight the machine?
Right.
So I stalled and stalled, and then when it got closer to time to pay the $500 ticket, it was probably the day after listening to the Tom Likas show with Adam Sachs. And I decided, what the hell, I'll give it a shot. So that was when I emailed you and we started talking about
Yay, excellent. So it was really cool. I went in today. And I made some version of these arguments. I'm not going to give you all my secrets, but it was just this total mind fuck, and the judge dismissed the case. It was beautiful. and by the way, Tom, in Orange County, which is tough.
And by the way, people should know that a lot of people think this is in the past because, you know, whether it's in California where they took them down in the city of Los Angeles, or whether it's Arizona where they had these cameras on the freeway. On the freeway.
Yeah, for speeding.
Right. But there are still many municipalities around Southern California that are still doing this. And West Hollywood would be one of those. West Hollywood still has cameras. And they still give out tickets to people because they went through a red light or they didn't get through the intersection fast enough or whatever.
Well, it's a gold mine for them. And as you see, it's strictly automated, and most suckers, you know, pay the $500. Think, Tom, if you were standing on a street corner, and every couple of minutes, $500, $500, $500, think about how much it would add up to be.
I know.
It's astounding. And even if they split it with the company, which I think they do about 50-50 or 60-40 or something, it's still an unbelievable amount of revenue for these broke cities. So anyway, I fought it, and when I walked out, people were like, you know, who was that masked man, you know?
Yeah.
It was great.
I love that.
So, Adam.
Yes.
who represented the camera?
it was a cop. It's a cop who is an expert, I guess, with video equipment or whatever. And he's some kind of a lieutenant something, and he comes in with all the different people that day. And plays the tapes and shows the pictures. And that's technically who represents the camera, would you believe? But there were a lot of tickets. He had a big reel of them, and there were very, very few people that came to fight. And I was the only lawyer, actually, who came to fight. So people just don't understand that they have the ability to do this. And I got to be honest, you know, I think we pay enough taxes. Give a lot of money to the government. It's just been April 15th last week, and I paid a lot of taxes, and most people do. And to essentially give more money in taxes to the city or the county or whatever, I just don't think it's reasonable. I think you should try to fight it every step of the way. And it's just like DUI. 99% of people just plead guilty. So there's no reason for you not to be the smart one who uses an attorney and fights it and save yourself some money. And, you know, good. Too bad. Tired of the cities sucking off of us the way they do. It's ridiculous. And what was really nice, you know, William, was the fact that I had also represented your daughter in her little open container story and won that one. That was great. That was up in Santa Barbara, as I recall. And I understand your son has something needs doing, right?
Yeah, he's had some issues in the past, and so we'll go for the expungement and see how successful you can be on that.
So we're going to get rid of his prior record on some little mistakes that he made. So this is like a real family affair. I got like, are you married? You got a wife too? Does she have anything? Have I missed anybody?
Of course I have a wife.
Okay, I don't know. You could be divorced or something.
Hopefully I won't need you for that.
All right. I hope that's a happy marriage. Good for you. But anyway, listen, thanks very much for coming on, and it was really a pleasure today. And what do you say, right? When I say fight it, am I crazy or what? Seriously, come on. Did you ever have your doubts?
You
I mean, tell
right. me. Oh, of course I had my doubts. I mean, how do you beat the machine? Same thing with my daughter. It was, you know, open and shut case.
The thing about your daughter, I mean, your daughter is in nursing school, and so... You know, it was really disturbing that, you know, she was going to have this thing that could, you know, be an impediment to her getting licensed, you know. Nobody wants that. So I'm really glad we fought it.
The school was getting ready to take some kind of action against her.
Yes.
I mean, that's how stupid that was.
No, the school was going to take some kind of administrative action to, you know, in terms of her standing at the school. So that was a beautiful thing dealing with that for your child. I was really proud to do that. But today was a good one, too. I mean, people just don't recognize, you know, whatever's happened in our world, we still live in a democratic society, And for all the faults of the United States, you really do have a system which is not rigged. People say it's rigged, it's rigged, there's no way, how can you win? I win all the time. And people have to understand their rights and fight for them. That's the bottom line.
And I'm glad you convinced me to do this on both of these cases. Very good job. I appreciate it very much.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, William. Thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
So you see that, Tom? You see what goes on?
Oh, I know all too well what goes on.
I have so many experiences of people, you know, that just sort of, they're like defeatist, you know? And they say, eh, the hell with it. You know, what are you going to do? The system's all set up against the little guy. You know, they perceive themselves as being in this unfair position. And I did a couple of cases last week where I got the stuff dismissed. And I called up this client of mine and I said, hey, guess what? I got it dismissed. And he absolutely did not believe me, Tom. He just said to me,
I know that people feel them.
He said, bullshit. I said, no, I swear. What do you mean? I'm not crazy. I'm not going to lie to you. He goes, you're telling me you got it dismissed. I said, absolutely. And he had paid like it's a bail, like the fine, but you have to put that up front, you know?
Right.
And so the way it works is when you win the case, they give it back to you. So he says to me, so wait a minute. You're telling me that I'm getting a check from the city in a couple of weeks to pay me back the money. Bullshit. I don't believe you. I said, come on, man. Don't be such a cynic, you know?
Oh, my.
A lot of guys do it. I mean, I don't want to distract them. We're talking criminal law tonight. But in family law, particularly a lot of men believe the same kind of thing, that the system's against them, that it's rigged for women, and that there's no way that they can succeed. There's no way they can win, and they can't get custody or whatever it is that they're looking for. And that is just not true. I mean, it's difficult. I think it's impossible if you don't have a lawyer, and it's certainly stacked against you in certain ways. I mean, when you talk about criminal law or traffic tickets or DUIs, I mean, there's certainly a bias that people tend to believe the police, you know, and the judge tends to believe the police. And the policeman comes in, and he's very serious and studious, and he's got his badge, and he's, you know, talking about his notes, and people say, must be true, you know, the cop said it, what is, you know, what's his angle, you know? But you see, there have been plenty of criminal cases where the police made statements, and ultimately the jury did not believe them. And I don't know that the police are always 100% truthful or remember correctly, and there's a lot of innocent people in jail, as we know. So I think whatever the circumstances are, you got to give it your best shot. And I usually say in my advertising, you got to get your charges dismissed or at least reduced, you know, if nothing else. And so it always pays to fight. And as you saw for William and his family, I got him and his daughter. So that's a pretty good record, I think.
It just seems that the system is set up so that nobody will fight. Everybody is defeated, deflated.
Oh. And, it's meant to be intimidating, you know.
Yeah, so people don't bother to go in and fight.
By the way, Tom, you see people coming into court by themselves without a lawyer, and they when they call their name and they come up to the front, they start stuttering, they get all freaked out, you know. It's scary. It's an intimidating circumstance. And, you know, someone who's a lawyer is there every day, so you get used to it. So that's an important factor, just that.
Right. Right. All right, let's take a break here. We'll come back with Adam Sachs. Adam is here as criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs, and that means if you've been accused of a crime, if you have, maybe you've been a victim of a crime, maybe you've been trying to deal with that issue, maybe you've been accused of drunk driving, maybe you've been accused of drug possession, maybe you've been accused of some kind of violent act, maybe somebody did something to you. All right, if it has to do with criminal law, Adam will answer your question free right now. All you have to do is call this number right now. 901-3000-TOM. That's the number. 901-3000-TOM. Talk to Adam Sachs right now at 901-3000-866.
The entire Tom Likas experience in your pants.
Get the app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show at 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number, 901-3000-TOM. It's a bonus hour with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs at 901-3000-866. We have announced that we're going to be doing our annual Dodger event in the most luxurious, the biggest suite in Dodger Stadium, now known as the Emirates Lounge. And on Sunday, August 28th at 1 p.m., we will see two of the hottest teams in baseball, the Los Angeles Dodgers playing the Chicago Cubs. It is going to be something. Get your tickets right now. Go to p1dodgers.com. That's P as in Peter, the number one, p1dodgers.com. Thank you so much for tuning in to our bonus hour with Adam Sachs. And Adam is here to talk about criminal law, answer your legal questions. And he is doing that right now at 901-3000-TOM. Saw an interesting story recently that I thought we would talk about a little bit.
Sure.
A lot of people don't understand why Charlie Manson and other members of the Manson family coming up for parole.
Oh, my God.
And one of these gals who worked hand-in-hand there with Charlie Manson actually got out. She got out. What's going on?
Well,
how does that work?
It happened a long time ago, Tom, you know? I mean, Manson and that whole family craziness, that was around the time of the Beatles, right? That was based on the song Helter Skelter, as I recall.
Yes.
And, you know, the whole craziness of it is that Manson thought that he was going to start some kind of a race war. And it was going to be like a revolution in the United States or something of the sort. He didn't do any of the killing, actually. He just got these other people to do it. And, you know, tragically killing Folger, right? The heiress to the coffee company. And Sharon Tate, most famously, who was a model, who was the wife of Roman Polanski. Poor Roman Polanski, Tom. He had survived the Holocaust. He had seen his parents killed. Then he moves to America, becomes very successful, and has this horrible thing with the woman that he's with. His wife is killed, and she was pregnant and all. They do these horrible satanic rituals and all. And these freakazoids.
So he went out and raped someone else's kid just to make up for it.
Well, that was, I think that was not the smartest thing he ever did in the whole world.
Not the smartest thing he did. He raped a 13-year-old girl.
That's true.
Not allegedly. He did it.
Yes, apparently he did. And he's been a fugitive from justice for quite a long time.
Yeah.
But, so that's not that wasn't exactly a great ending to his life story either. But in terms of Manson, you know, these people have been in jail already for 40 or 50 years. And, you know, the trial itself was kind of a circus. They made a whole big game of it. Downtown L.A. in the same building that the O.J. trial was done, and a lot of other cases that I've done a lot of cases there myself. But the reality is, and this is, you know, very typical, there was a very sordid, they called it the preppy murder when I lived in New York years ago. Remember that one, Tom, the preppy murder?
And
this guy killed the girlfriend and he strangled her, or he twisted her neck or something crazy. She was Jewish, of course, being this New York princess or whatever. And, you know, he served 25 years and then they let him out. And people were like, oh, my God, how can he be let out and all this? But, I mean, you know, you go to jail. A lot of these people, like this one that they're talking about now from the Manson family, you know, she, while in jail, got a master's degree. And she helped the other prisoners, and she was a model prisoner, and all this kind of BS. And, I mean, if you're reasonably well-behaved and you're supposed to get rehabilitated or something like that, you know, once you've served 20 years and 30 years, you know, they're very inclined to want to parole you, you know. And, you know, the victim is still dead, and obviously the family of the victim now gets to, you know, especially gets reminded and goes to the parole hearing, and they say that they don't want you paroled usually, of course. Because they're still upset about what happened. But at the same time, it's like, you know, you've already served a lot of time. And, you know, you're saying that you're remorseful and that you've changed as a person. And you've, you know, educated yourself and you've, you know, helped other prisoners. You've made restitution, etc. The argument against paroling you at some point is rather difficult to make. And so eventually these boards parole these people. And I mean, you know, one of the cures to crime, they say this, you know, no matter how crazy the person is age. You know, when you're 17 or 18 and you're full of testosterone, you're, you know, much more likely to do violent acts. But once you get to be old, you know, and this old broad is in her 50s or her 60s or her 70s or whatever, it's, you know, what's she going to do? You know, she's not going to, you know, be a one-woman crime wave, most likely. She's going to be in the old age home.
Right, but what about punishment? I mean, who gives a shit if she's likely to do it again? She deserves to be punished for what
well,
she
didn't
did.
Didn't she serve, you know, a long time in prison? That's the punishment.
It's murder. I mean, a long time in prison because you did heroin, that would be one thing. You know what? People deserve a second chance. But when you commit murder... And by the way, if that's true, why is Charles Manson still in prison?
Yeah, well, it's all relative, of course. And I think that Manson was considered to be the ringleader. You know, he was sort of the brains of the whole thing. Whereas this person, you know, turns it around. A lot of people say, you know, that, you know, she was the victim, that Manson tricked her and manipulated her and overwhelmed her will.
Because she's a woman, you know that.
And by the way, that's all, Tom, that's not a joke. She says, you know, I lost my chance to have children, and I didn't have the normal life, and I'm frail, and I'm a flower, and I've had breast cancer, and, you know, there's arguments have been made. I've seen a lot of these online made by feminists that no matter what it is, a woman should not go to jail, period, that there shouldn't be women jails, and that women should not go to jail for anything. And in fact, if you look at the populations of prisoners, women in jail is one of the largest growing factors. That's like the TV show Orange is the New Black or whatever.
Yeah.
Have this sort of lesbian sex party going on in jail, you know. So who knows? I don't know what the story is. But, you know, as I mentioned on the show, and one time in England, no matter what the felony was, it was punishable by death. And that's not necessarily a good thing. And we have a society now where we try to give proportionate sentencing. And people get sentenced to life in prison, but generally there is this sense of parole. There is a sentence that they've added now where they say life without the possibility of parole. But very few people get that. That's for very heinous crimes. And most people at some point are going to be back out again. And you have to think about the fact that they go to jail, and if they spend 20 or 30 years in jail, they're completely screwed up mentally and emotionally. They don't know how to take care of themselves. If they had mental problems, they probably weren't treated in any way. And they're going to be out in the street at some point, and who knows what the hell they're going to be able to do to take care of themselves or to live any kind of regular life. But, you know, this thing that they used to talk about, lock them up and throw away the key, that just is unworkable. And the United States has... nearly 2 million people incarcerated. And that's just, if you think about how many that is.
Right. I mean, but if you take all the pot smokers, you take the pot smokers.
Hey, don't convince me. I think anyone to do with drugs should not be in jail, of course.
You know, but I think people who commit murder are the ones who should stay in.
Yeah. I think violent crime, I mean, I've got mixed feelings about rape because I think a lot of rape accusations are false. But when you talk about particularly murder, and the different kinds of people associated with robbery and bank
robbery. And we
are
talking
so
about
forth.
A confessed murderer.
Yeah,
here.
Of course. There's no this doubt is, of her guilt.
This is not a case that was proven by a prosecutor. She admitted it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep, I think that's a sick one. And obviously it's a famous case. It gets a lot of attention. But you see how it goes. I mean, there's something sometimes that goes on with people. You know, we've all watched the O.J. show. Did you watch the O.J. show, Tom? It was.
I did not. What was your take? I saw one episode of it. What was your
only
take?
One episode?
I saw the real thing. I mean, I don't need to see a fictionalized. You know, come on.
No, it was interesting, Tom. It had a lot of things, a lot of details that you didn't know about. You may not have remembered or whatever that were glossed
had a
over.
A lot of fictionalized parts too.
Well, these conversations that supposedly happened. But it was funny to see Travolta.
How does anybody
know
what O.J. said to, what's his name, his friend?
Yeah, Kardashian.
No, the guy driving the getaway vehicle.
Oh, right. Cowlings.
A.J. Cowlings. Yeah.
Well, I think some of it may have come from him. Who knows? But it was the Cosby kid, by the way. He played Cowlings.
Right.
But, you know, just broadly speaking, I mean, you know, you see how O.J., having gone through that, right, and gone through the civil case where he lost and had to pay a lot of money and, you know, moved to Florida so he could hide his assets there and protect his house and all these things, and ultimately ended up being convicted a few years later of something else, you know, and now he's serving 20 or 30 years for that, you know. I mean, when you look at, you know, someone who's screwed up, they're just screwed up. And they're never going to learn. If they beat it once, they're going to end up screwing up again. And, you know, in case of some of these people that you're talking about, filling up our jails with people that are nonviolent drug offenders, especially users, especially people that use drugs, rather than treating them or giving them the drugs or whatever, that's, you know, ridiculous. And if you see actually in the presidential race, you know, it was Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, but especially Bill back in 93 or 94, or 95, something like that, talking about the super predators and passing this heavy duty crime bill, which is one of the reasons we have such high incarceration today with these mandatory sentences and everything. And now they're, you know, backtracking, and Hillary Clinton is saying, oh, I never agreed with that, and that wasn't me, it was my husband. Did you catch that the other day, Tom?
I did.
That was a good one. I like her. She was the brains all the way through, let's face it. And she's saying, oh, it wasn't me, it was Barack Obama. Oh, it wasn't me, it was my husband, Bill Clinton. So
right.
She's full of shit on a completely different kind of level. But you see how that sells, I think, very well to the public. And when they say, no more nonsense, we're, you know, going to lock them up and throw away the key and not have these liberal judges give them a break or whatever, you know, that gets the big applause. But the reality is that we have, you know, so many people that are unproductive in our society because they're sitting in jail. And I'm not saying, you know, your average serial killer should be in prison forever and ever, like Kaczynski, you know, the bomber or whatever, what do they call him, the Unabomber?
Unabomber.
But when you talk about some guy, you know, smoking weed or doing heroin or whatever, I mean, that's just stupid. That's so stupid. That's so annoying to me.
Agreed. All right, we got a call here. Let's take it. 901-3000. Tom for Adam Sachs. Criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs is here answering your legal questions. And all you have to do is call in at 901-3000-866. Let's say hi to Brent in San Diego. Brent, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hello, Tom.
Why, hello.
Hey, Brent.
Hey guys, so I was speeding through an Eastern California small county, Mono County, if you've ever had the pleasure.
All right.
And it was a Thursday night about 10 p.m. and there's probably eight cops turned out to be in like a 40-mile area, just
yeah,
you know, out there looking for
and
revenue.
And you got all eight of them.
Yeah, and I haven't had a ticket in over a dozen years, Adams. So,
really?
You know, in the past I would just, yeah, I'm actually really not a speeder and he said I was going 75 and a 55, but that seemed a little inflated to me.
Right.
But I could have been
there. Did you ask him to see the radar?
No, I did not.
People don't know this, and it's worth mentioning. Now, we talk a lot about this, how to deal with the police interaction, and that's especially true, I'd say, if you're a member of a minority. You don't want to get pissing off the cop where he's going to do something to you, not fair or whatever. But at the same time, you know your rights, so you have the right, as I've always said, not to get into it, not to talk. But one of the things you can do when the cop tells you you're speeding, you say, you know, officer, I don't think I was speeding. You're saying I was going 65 or 75 or whatever. How do you know that? And he'll tell you I paced you, which is one way. But if he tells you I used radar or LIDAR, which is laser radar, you say, really, can I take a look at the machine? And, you know, he doesn't have to show it to you, I believe, but a lot of times, you know, if you're just being regular and cooperative, they will. And it's a little machine, and it's got, you know, kind of what you'd expect, a kind of a digital readout. And you want to see the readout. Because if he doesn't want to show it to you, or if he turned it off or reset it or whatever, that's something that you can later on use. I can, you know, bring that to the judge, and when the cop says you were going 75, I can say, you know, my client asked the officer to see the radar machine, and it was reset. Or when he looked at the radar machine, it didn't say 75, it said 69. or the cop refused to show it to him or whatever. And that certainly helps your case. So in general, that's something, you know, if you do it in a polite way, you don't want to be a dick. You know, people get into, you know, hey, man, I know my rights and I pay your salary, asshole, and I want to see the machine. Not a good idea.
Right.
And especially not in some small county. But, you know, it's the same situation as we've talked about in California in particular. You haven't had a ticket in a long, long time. So you can do traffic school, which means that you can do this little stupid online thing. It's going to cost you a few a few hundred bucks plus the ticket, obviously, and some other fees or whatever. But the bottom line is that that will make it go away. It won't affect you in terms of your insurance and whatnot, usually speaking. And that's something that you can't do all the time. You can only do it once every 18 months. But at the same time, if you haven't had a ticket in a long time, you can do that. So I certainly recommend that. I don't see anything wrong with that. But at the same time, I'm a fighter. And as I've said many times, you know, you don't want to blow traffic school. Maybe you're going to need it for something even bigger at some point. And maybe it's within the 18 months. So if there's, you know, some cracks in the story, something like I've just described, where the cop wouldn't, let's say, show you the radar if you asked for it, or if it was late at night and the cop said that he was pacing you, you say, how do you know it was me? There are a lot of cars around, or, you know, there was another blue car next to me. Maybe it was him. Maybe, you know, made a mistake. Things like that. I think that it's always worth giving it a try and fighting it.
Yeah, as you recall, one of the times I got a speeding ticket, the cop was literally on the other side of the road, driving in the opposite direction.
Right.
And
that was kind of similar to my case, yeah.
He kind of hung a quick U-turn and tracked me down to tell me I was going over the speed limit. I don't know how he could possibly know that. He was going in a different direction. There was no radar, nothing.
Yeah. And that was also in some godforsaken county, wasn't it, Tom?
It was Santa Barbara County. Yes. Yes, it was.
Oh, man. When you go,
they don't pay enough taxes there.
When I go to these courthouses for Tom, and it's like this, it's like a library, and there's like one room on the side, and that's the courtroom. I go, oh Jesus, what did I do to deserve this, man?
Yeah.
And the judge's name is Reginald Q. Justice, you know. And he's like this redneck judge. It's like, oh man.
Is his cousin the bailiff?
The things I do for Lycus, man. So if you're in that situation and it's a small county, I don't care. We'll kick their ass if you want, okay? If you're up for it, I'm up for it.
Yeah, how does that work? I mean, I don't want to go to Bridgeport, California.
No. Well, that's one of the reasons you hire me in the first place, because you never have to go to court. I take care of it. Like that gentleman that called earlier in the hour, William, it was in Orange County, and I went, of course, myself this morning. He didn't go. That's one of the good things about hiring a lawyer anyway. You know, you have to not deal with it, generally speaking, yourself. You don't have to go to court unless there's some weird reason. I just represent you.
Well, it's like you said, it's very unnerving for just a layman to go on there. I actually attempted that when I was, over a dozen years ago when I had a ticket. And I
not
actually,
recommended.
You know, yeah, it didn't work out too well. I even called the another highway patrolman. I called him to the stand and cross-examined
him. Really?
Internet research I did. Yeah, I was nervous as all hell, but I said, why not? I'll go for it.
Wow.
But unfortunately,
cool.
He showed up, and it was pretty obvious. You know, the system is built to collect revenue.
Well, that's let me ask you, the judge
didn't even entertain my defense.
Okay, well, I think you have a big disadvantage. You're not a lawyer, obviously, but when you talk about it, I mean, people know this. It's not just the system and the circumstances. You know, you're talking to a judge, and the cop has a lot of credibility, right? I mean, that's a tough one, right?
Well, you're great with these, Adam. There's a concept in the legal system that basically everything an officer of the law says is true and infallible, basically. I'm paraphrasing, but what's that called?
I don't know. It's not true. You know, there's no principle of law that says that. I just think that when officers, leave even having a judge, when you talk about a criminal case or even a regular kind of other types of cases, when someone's a cop and they testify, you know, the jury believes it, right? I mean, you know, they you have some kind of innate respect for police, you know. That's one of the things that happened in that OJ show, you know. It was something that they showed how they did it, but I mean, they really, really put dispersion on the police and the detectives to the point that you felt that they were a bunch of racists and you couldn't believe anything they said. That's very hard to do. Normally, the jury hears what the cops say, and they get very convinced. And in the OJ case, it was just the opposite. The cop was a racist and had you know, made a lot of racist comments and statements and whatnot. And so once that came out, particularly, anything he said was considered to be suspect. But when you were cross-examining your cop, it's just you and the judge and the cop. I presume the judge probably believed the cop, right?
Right. And I didn't have his legal team either. So yeah, it was pretty straightforward.
It's definitely a disadvantage. I saw it. I watch people
do
it.
I'll just give you a call and
yeah, of course.
Maybe we can see what the details are.
Happy to help you. I watch people, you know, when I'm waiting for my case every day, like even today, I watch other people and I see what they do. And, you know, I feel bad sometimes. There was a guy the other day I was in court and he was arguing with the judge and he was just burying himself deeper and deeper. I think the judge got frustrated and said, let's take a little recess here, and kind of went aside. And I was just going to say to the guy, what are you doing? You know, you're killing yourself. Stop it. You know? And I didn't want to get involved or whatever. And it was like, he was sitting there pissed off. So I figured I'd leave him alone. I didn't want to start. Sometimes, you know, people don't take it in a good way. You know, they get angry if you try to help them. But, you know, there definitely is a kind of a self-destructive thing that people get into sometimes. And you really want to try to avoid that. And that's one of the reasons you use a lawyer anyway, because, you know, you're too emotionally involved in your own case. And if you have a lawyer who's objective, you know, he doesn't, you know, get confused. You're much more focused on what's in your interest and what's not. Because a lot of people, when they argue their own case, they start getting confused, especially in, like, emotional things like family law or criminal law. And they start going, wait a minute, well, she's a liar, and, you know, she cheated on me. And it's like, these are irrelevant things that just make you look bad, you know. So it's important to be able to have that clear mind. And, you know, hopefully a lawyer can maintain that kind of objectivity, even in traffic ticket cases.
All right, Brent, hang on there. I'm gonna have Dean put you in touch with Adam.
For sure.
And we'll see what we can make happen for you there, okay? Thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate it. All right, Adam Sachs is here giving free legal advice to you. And all you have to do is call this number, 901-3000-TOM. That's our number here. 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-866.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. At 901-3000-TOM, that's our telephone number. For Adam Sachs, 901-3000-TOM, free legal advice for you. 901-3000-866. I have only got one more space in our high-end exclusive dinner in New York City. This is going down. It is absolutely happening on Saturday night, May 14th in Manhattan. That's all I'm going to tell you. I don't want the whole world showing up. You'll know shortly before the dinner where you're going to go. But if you would like to get dinner with me and a select group of New York area P1s, write to dinnerwithtom.com. Dinnerwithtom.com. And tomorrow I'm shutting it down. People have sold our last ticket. Wow, wow, wow. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, Tom, you can call me at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Check out my website, www.adamlawyer.com. Check me out on Facebook. And you can send me an email. I read them and answer them myself, adam@adamlawyer.com.
Adam Sachs, he joins us every bonus hour, every Tuesday. You can call and talk to Adam live. The next appearance by Adam
I'm going to definitely come to the Dodgers.
Oh,
box.
Good. Nice.
So anyone wants to meet me can meet me there, too.
P1Dodgers.com. That's coming up in August, but people are already locking down their tickets right now.
Can't
at
wait.
P1Dodgers.
By the way, I've gone to the other ones in the past, and it was a blast.
It's amazing, right? This
beyond belief.
The suite we were in last year has been completely renovated. So it was great as it was, and they have completely redone it. In fact, it was just completed right in time for opening day. I mean, literally, the paint is still wet.
Geez, Tom, I don't know how much better they can make it. They're renovating
it? You're going to find out.
It was like super deluxe. Unbelievable.
Yes. Yes.
I got to say, I used to go to games, you know, and you sit outside. It's cool, but you get sunburned and you get roasted, you know.
Yep.
And being in those suites is just so sweet beyond belief.
Well, wait till you see this year the attendants who are going to be there to deliver food and drink to you.
Wow.
You can just run a tab all day. I mean, it's crazy.
I am there.
That's P1Dodgers.com. Adam Sachs will be there. Gary and Dina will be there. Mikey Timps will be there. I'll be there. You'll be there. Just go to P1Dodgers.com.
iHeart, this app, a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's news for guys. I'm Gary's Dino.
Yeah.
An American has been arrested in Thailand for going down on a broad in public.
Oh, they don't take too kindly to that.
Ben Bartani is a American real estate broker, 49 years old, over there enjoying himself. There was a big old Thailand, some kind of like New Year's celebration going on there. I guess this girl was like laying on a metal table. She was doing some kind of act, and he just walked right up, put his face right between her legs, and went down on him.
Man, police arrested him for public indecency after the video was posted online. He then allegedly apologized and admitted he was the one who appears in the clip.
Yeah.
The legal system over there with our friends in Thailand is not the same.
Dude, get like 40 lashes, may get his dick cut off or something. There
yeah.
We go.
40 lashes would be considered a nice thing to happen.
Right. I think your boy Ben might be in for some trouble. Yeah, if it wasn't for the video, apparently, you know, this would have gone pretty much unnoticed. There's another woman that comes up and starts swatting him in the head and stuff, trying to get him out from the puss.
Trying to stop him from doing it, because they don't like that over there
in
Thailand.
No word on whether she was shooting ping pong balls at that pussy beforehand.
That's perfectly okay.
That's okay, because nobody gets hurt in there.
Right.
Unless you get hit with the ping pong ball. That's different altogether.
I am a fan of the Pattaya City Police Station Chief. Suck that, Puma Nunyang. Suck that. I'm dead serious.
Really?
His name is Suck That.
Is he friends with Captain Something Wong?
Yeah, he's he's very on top of the third picture down in the story.
Suck
his name is Suck
Wong.
That Pumpum Young.
It's not quite that, but yes, it's close.
Come on.
Yes. Oh, man. North Carolina teacher, female, traveled to Virginia for sex with a former student, 13 years old, 13.
Wow, she must have taken notes.
She took a nice little drive, and she's in some trouble for sure.
Yeah, and looking at her mugshot, it doesn't look too promising.
Kathleen Capitano, I believe she's one of yours.
I don't know. I don't want to lay credit with this here.
You sure?
She had a whole Saturday afternoon set up in a Virginia hotel where she planned to meet the boy, and that, of course, went south.
Yep. Right on. Blake Shelton apparently scoring a big victory in his defamation lawsuit against In Touch. The judge saying, after In Touch tried to get out of this by just simply having it thrown out, nope. The magazine, of course, as we reported here, said that Blake was an alcoholic and went to rehab. He claims that ain't true.
Right. And the judge was very clear. That magazine was saying that our friend was in trouble with the booze, and no.
False claims of rehab are libelous, according to the judge, period.
And that's bad news for our friends at In Touch.
Brooke Mueller now accusing Charlie Sheen of selling his 2.5 men cash cow just so he could get out of paying so much child support to her.
Right, Charlie's apparently doing something, and this, of course, is according to Brooke. He's doing something interesting. He's selling the back end of his 2.5 men
correct,
in order to lower his monthly income.
Sure, one lump sum he's
taking. He got $26 million in the deal.
Nice.
But now he loses $613,000 a month in income. So he got $26 million in a lump sum, but he loses out on $613 million. This is a terrific shell game that our friend Charlie's playing.
Can you imagine Charlie Sheen's getting paid $613,000 a month just for the back end on that two
on
and a half
show
night.
That he's not even on anymore?
That is absolutely unbelievable.
And by the way, I'm
broke.
Sure
he's
that
broke.
No, well, that's what they're trying to make it look like. I'm going to guess he's not broke.
I don't know. He says he paid off a lot of people to keep it a hush hush that he had the AIDS.
Well, HIV,
but, or HIV, yeah. Whatever it is.
I got to. I'm not. I don't think he's broke.
Finally, a pick alert for you, Josephine Shriver. She's in Marie Claire, Italy, and this girl is.
Oh man!
What the hell? Her
you could stop traffic with this one.
Plenty more newsforguys.com, and of course, you can catch our show at GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
Suck that, Puma Nunyang.